Hello, everyone, and welcome to The New Yorkers, a podcast by New York City Cop. I am your host, Kelly Kopp, published photographer, New York City tour business owner, real estate content creator, podcaster, and above all else, a New Yorker.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Brooklyn-bound train is now arriving.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
With me today, I have executive editor Bianca Bahamandes. She is a Secret Media Network's executive editor for all of North America. She is an avid reader and urban connoisseur as well. But above all else, she is a New Yorker. Hey, Bianca, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thanks, Kelly. How are you? I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, me too. We are so excited to have you here today. Jay and I have just been over the moon waiting to chat with you.
Oh, so, that's great. I'm excited too.
Yeah, me too. Bianca, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Miami, actually. I was born and raised in South Florida. And then I moved to New York about 10 years ago, I think 9 actually. I forget what year I moved here. I think 2015. So yeah, 9 years. And was a travel food writer before, and then a bit of a lifestyle writer, and then found Secret NYC, and now media executive editor.
Do people say to you, since you moved from Miami to New York, that you moved the wrong direction or the opposite direction?
Actually, no, but I do know a lot of people have gone to Miami now, but I'm not upset with my choice to move up here. I like having a split. I have family there, so I still go to visit quite often, which is nice. But living there was very different to living in New York. Like, one thing is visiting. Another thing is driving to work, getting stuck in traffic.
Right.
That whole element was brutal. The flooding there now.
Yeah.
Heat. Even though it's hot here, too. Don't get me wrong. But it's just different. I like walking and being able to step out to a million things.
And the ease of the accessibility and easiness of the subway. And the reason I'm asking you this, because I moved here from Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah, to New York. Yeah, exactly. And I've been I worked at Miami too and everything. My twin brother lives in the Keys and I have family there and everything too. But people all the time, when I say I'm from Florida, they say, you went the wrong direction or the opposite. You did the opposite, you know? So that's why I was wondering if people said it to you.
No, maybe retirement time, I'll rethink it. But right now,
maybe it's because I'm a little bit older. Oh, so maybe they say that to me.
Young at heart.
Exactly. So, Bianca, tell us a bit about Secret NYC and the Secret NYC brand. What are all of the cities that you cover?
Oof, all of the cities. So we cover quite a few, but I'll backtrack. Secret NYC, it's a hyper-local go-to guide for all things New York. And we're part of a global entertainment platform, Secret Media Network, which you mentioned. The brand in general is in over 200 cities.
Wow. Now.
But in the States, I think we're in 40 or so.
40?
Or between the States and Canada.
Yeah. That's amazing. You know, when we talked before this episode, I have been an avid fan of Secret NYC. I think how long ago do you know how long it started?
I started here with Secret, starting with Secret NYC about 7 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I'll be celebrating my 7 years now in July. And it was already around. So I want to say like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I have been following you guys, I think, since the beginning. And what I love is you guys have shared my work.
I know. We work together. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Bianca, what topics do you cover?
So we cover everything in the 5 boroughs and then a little bit beyond as well. But local news is a big one for us. Openings, restaurant openings, closing, things to do, events, really anything that has to do with New York, New York City, we're on it. Yeah.
Just daily life that for anybody who I feel like your page, I go to your page, I always have for information about anything. It's a vital page in New York City, personally.
Thank you.
You know, it's a
I
staple.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I really do. I really
Unbiased,
do.
Unbiased, right?
It's just a great page, and it's all a lot, you know, because of you. So what are your most popular articles about?
So as I was mentioning, local news is a big mm-hmm. one, and that really took off a few years ago. Another one that's really popular is things to do. So events, weekend mm-hmm. guides, what people are up to on Saturdays and Sundays, long weekends as well. And then another couple topics that people really seem to gravitate towards are quirky history, if mm-hmm. you will, and humor.
That is so true, because sometimes I see just a funny question or a funny sentence that you guys will post. And you know, in the comments, they're so great to read. And this is, and you know, for myself too, I also, when I'm looking as a content creator here in New York City, I go to your page a lot to see what is happening for the weekend coming up or for the, you know, the days coming up. So even for the month, you know, I write it on my calendar. So
yeah, no, we put together the monthlies and the weekend pieces, but the humor portion, that was something that just kind of happened naturally and people gravitated towards it. So we kept doing more of it and people still love it. So
yeah, they're super funny. You know, yes, you know, New York City phrases or things like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really fun. So tell us, Bianca, about Secret NYC's stamp of approval system.
So our sticker project or campaign, it's something that came out of really wanting to spotlight local businesses and kind of break that fourth wall, if you will, get out into the community, not just be behind a computer online. So that's something that's been a bit of a passion project, honestly, for the team. We go out personally to like tried and true places that we love around the five boroughs, giving them a sticker. We cover them too in articles and just encourage people to go and support these local businesses that we personally love. You won't see us everywhere at the moment because it does take quite some time to go physically to each of these places. But we really have loved putting this together. And we're actually in 10 cities now, I believe, globally. In the States, it's New York, Chicago, and LA. So you might find them there. I actually have some with mm-hmm. me here. But yeah, no, it's definitely a labor of love, if you will.
So that's really interesting. So I can go to a restaurant or a business and look for the Secret NYC seal of stamp of approval.
Yeah, it's what we're calling it in all of our
I love it.
Content that we create. It is like a window sticker. I know people see these often, so maybe it's not super exciting for them, but we're really passionate about it and excited about it.
Well, for me to see that in a window, it would really, it's just, to me, it's the same in a sense as important as the New York City letter grades in the window, too.
I think so, too.
You know what I mean?
I love that.
You know, because I subconsciously look at those letter grades by the health department in every restaurant, you know. So to see that Secret NYC seal of approval is just the top, you know, the cherry on the sundae.
Totally. And we're not sending them out in droves. So if you see one on a business, it's because we've actually been there and given them this sticker for their business.
Special stamp of approval. I love it. And it's so interesting as well, because Jay and I have talked that we are looking to support local businesses and have them on the podcast and help them and also get more reach.
Totally. I think that would be an awesome idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Well, you're our inspiration for what we're doing.
Happy to be.
Bianca, what are your future plans for the campaign?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey there, I'm Bellamy Young. I'm an actor and a producer. I've been working with the global humanitarian organization CARE, and I am so excited to invite you along for my new podcast, She Leads with CARE. Each week, you'll meet some incredible women who have changed their lives and their communities.
We raise our voices for people who don't raise their voices to defend themselves.
Listen to She Leads with CARE now on your favorite podcast platform. New episodes every Tuesday.
Doing more of these stickers, giving them to more businesses, as many as we can throughout the city. It's going to take some time to get to every corner that we want to get to. I would love to see them in all of the cities. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's going to also take a bit of time to get to. And that's my future for the sticker campaign and our stamp of approvals.
That's amazing. And how do you plan to help business owners spread the word about their businesses, events, or products and products?
Sure. So I kind of touched on it before quickly, but we put them into a roundup that we have of all of the businesses that we've given a sticker to. And it's like broken down by neighborhoods as well. So it's a bit easier to find. And then we cover them. If we're going to it and we're giving them a sticker, chances are we've covered them to some extent on our Instagram, possibly TikTok, stories, creating reels with them, highlighting the sticker on their window. So really just trying to get them as much visibility as possible to hopefully get people to go there and
right.
to support them because we love them. We want to keep them around.
So just curious, could you, or, you know, this is a little bit of a question about ourselves, our podcast. Could you put a secret NYC stamp of approval on a podcast even?
Yeah, anything. Galleries, events, venues.
Wow, that's
yeah.
such a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a wonderful idea. And how does the secret brand inspire locals to rediscover their cities?
Sure. So I think by giving them hopefully a new perspective on the city, we cover a lot of things. I'm sure there are some things we cover that people don't think are particularly hidden, right? But there's 8 million people in
yep.
New York. So even if a handful of them find it to be new, job well done in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't only cover things that are opening, let's say, we're also covering things that maybe people have forgotten about or have only done a portion of or tried one thing at. So maybe we highlight something new that they haven't tried and want to check out. And that's how I see it, at least as a
and also events that are yearly too, as well, things like
totally
that.
Things that leave each year and come back, like Jazz Age Lawn Party, for
yep.
instance, that just happened, is happening again in August. That only comes around in the summer, but people might forget about it from one year to the next.
Another favorite of mine is the amazing musical chairs in Bryant Park.
I haven't heard of that.
Oh,
I know they do like the movie nights
and yoga, and all of these other things. It's kind of new. But every year, and this is the first year I went to, you know, do content. And it is so, it starts out with 900 people on the Bryant Park lawn.
Wait, I actually do remember this,
yeah.
but a few years ago, I hadn't heard of that. Exactly. So
yeah.
this conversation that we're having is what we hope to
yeah.
spark in people. Like, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, I did this 8 years ago. I didn't
yeah.
know that was still happening. Let me go and check it out or bring my friend to it.
Fun. You know, I was laughing how aggressive and cutthroat people
oh,
are.
I'm sure.
You know, I mean, it's men, women, and children all together trying
900 people.
Yeah,
it
and it
with?
Was. In,
how does that even? I
yeah, it takes 2 hours to
okay.
you know dwindle down to the
okay.
last two. But the last, I mean, people are just it's just
ruthless.
Hilarious, ruthless. That's the great word. I love it. It's really fun. Bianca, how has Secret NYC left its mark on local culture?
That's a good one. Deep question.
Yeah, it is.
Heavy, but I think by creating a strong sense of community.
Oh, yeah.
And the formats we use to make content more digestible or heavy topics potentially more digestible. We really noticed that during the early days of the pandemic, which I'm sure everyone did in the industry as well.
Yeah.
You kind of had to pivot quickly. And topics that we weren't maybe necessarily covering so much, we started to, like news, for instance. We did it in a more digestible way. We didn't fearmonger, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really cover it in a heavy way. We created some levity. We were doing articles like what people weren't buying at the grocery stores
yeah.
because every shelf was empty.
Aside from toilet paper.
And then, right, yeah.
I mean, that they were
but
buying.
There would be like
yeah.
certain...
Yeah.
brands of certain things that just fully stocked and every other shelf was empty. So trying to bring some levity in that regard. And then
I'd love to go back and see that article.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at it earlier in the week and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot we did this. This
Do you
is
know
actually
what
really
was
creative.
The, so any items that were left on the shelf?
Oh gosh, I don't want to like
give a plug.
Yeah, no, not even a plug, but like I feel bad because it was left on the shelf.
Right.
but there were certain like pasta brands
yeah.
or not even just the brands, but the type of pasta.
Really?
Like, all of the spaghettis and fettuccines and all of that was gone. But like the lasagna ones were still
so
there.
Interesting.
Or like, yeah, certain alternative rices and things like that, that people just weren't touching for whatever reason, even though
that is
was...
not pandemic food.
No, I guess not. I guess so not.
Interesting.
It was so odd, but funny. And people really gravitated toward that because it was a common thing we were all living through.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so hard to make these human connections. So being able to share some of those people from one rooftop to another, making a friend, or there was that one creator that was covering himself in like a bubble, I guess.
Oh, really?
I'm like remembering now that I'm putting myself in that time period where he was going on a date with someone, but as like a bubble.
I'm sure I've
in a
seen
bubble.
It.
And so there were interesting topics like that that we started to amplify and put out there. And we've continued to do all of these things, making complicated topics more digestible as well, and covering that humor element. Like, we're all living in the same city, having similar experiences.
Yes.
And
bonding over these
experiences. Exactly. It's like misery loves company a bit.
Yeah.
That idea. Yeah,
exactly.
The relatability of it, at least at that time. And yeah, we've continued to do that, and people still respond to it. And thankfully, we have content creators like yourself that we can reach out to as well and amplify and yeah, share their perspective. So I would love to continue to do more of that too, and getting other voices on the platform and just being a bit of a vessel, if you will.
Right.
For
you know, I remember, you know, so many things about the pandemic, but I feel like a unifying moment for New Yorkers was at 7 p.m. every night, when we were clapping, and, you know, banging your kitchen pots or pans
totally
out the
for
window.
The nurses,
yeah,
right?
That was, I would left New York for a little bit during, you know, in the pandemic. And I came home and I was sitting in my living room and I heard all this commotion. I didn't know what it was.
Sure.
You know, all this clanging and yelling and clapping. And I was just, it would confuse me because, you know, I wasn't here for a month or two, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And then I looked out my window and I saw my neighbors all up and down, you know, 8, 9, 10 stories from their apartment buildings, clapping and clanging their pots and pans. And it was a terrible time, but it was a beautiful moment.
Absolutely. You know? And that's how we've tried to cover everything. Like any of those hard moments that we come across, even since, finding that levity or that community within it and sharing that with our audience.
Secret NYC, and you have done it very well.
Thank you. Yeah, so our team is great. I'm
completely agree.
Couldn't ask
you
for
know, like
a better
it says,
team.
A staple. Starred, you know, what's that saved on my computer?
Like bookmarked?
Yeah, there you go. What's that called?
The star, yep.
Yeah, the star, you know.
What about you? What's your local, or what's your mark on New York local culture?
Wow, that's a good question. I never get asked questions, and now I don't know what to say. But my mark I'm leaving on local culture.
Exactly.
Well, I like to. I'm trying or striving to leave a very positive mark on New York City culture. There's a lot of negativity out there in the world, you know, on social media. But I use my platform as a way to show there's so much beauty and community and unity in New York City. Yeah, there really is. And there's beauty everywhere. And yes, is New York City perfect? No. But is any city perfect? No. But New York City, you know, people don't see these moments that we have together on the subway helping each other. You know, people don't see, you know, helping people with directions on the street. You know, people don't see some random conversations with a New Yorker and maybe someone from another country or another state here, you know. And I strive to show that on my social media, be it Facebook, Instagram. And now in addition, the podcast is a newer, you know, platform now that is in my umbrella or whatever. So under the umbrella of New York City Cop. And I wanted to, you know, bring a podcast now to the forefront and share all these beautiful experiences and hidden gems and locations and funny stuff too. So that's what I'm trying to do, is leave a mark, is how, and like, and you know, and that's what, you know, you're doing too. You know, you have a little bit, you know, New York City has a little bit more of everything. You know, mine's a little bit more concentrated on what it is, but I just want to leave a mark of positivity and how amazing the city is.
And I think you have, from my perspective.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I mean, it's just an amazing city. I love every moment. I love every moment in this city. Everywhere we go, there's so much beauty, in my opinion. And I love the grittiness of Soho here, walking down Canal Street. Today, walking here to talk with you in the podcast, I'm walking through, you know, all the gentlemen selling the purses and
sure.
The
same,
and like,
yeah.
And I was like, what's up, guys? Because they see me every week now, you know, walking through here. And I was just thinking, you know, we're all humans on this planet trying to share the same experience. We all want to be loved. That's the bottom line. So sure. It's just spread the love. That's what it's
like
all about.
I like that. Agreed.
Well, thanks. Okay, Bianca, are you ready for the hidden gems portion podcast?
How about you
go first? What's your first hidden gem you can think of in New York City?
Just one. First one is this place, Cafe MSMN. In Greenpoint.
Don't even know it.
It's a coffee shop I stumbled upon a few months ago, and it's really cool. It's an art gallery and coffee shop, and you can also make an appointment for piercings or tattoos. Very Brooklyn. I love it. The coffee's actually good as well, and it's just a really cool spot to bring someone, especially if you're like trying to impress it. Like, yeah, look at this interesting New York gem. It's a fun spot.
I love that. You just taught me something. Wow. I have a feeling you're going to teach me all these you're going to teach me, because I thought I knew them. I don't know them as well.
I mean, I feel like any street you wander on, you end up somewhere that you either never heard of or like never got a chance to try. You should see my Google Maps on my phone with all of the flags and the pins and the hearts. I just like make a mental map every time I walk through.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. It probably would make someone dizzy, but I understand it. So,
wow, that's a great one. I want to go there now.
Yeah, Cafe MSMN. I think online you can find them as Cafe Mono.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of on the cusp of Williamsburg and Greenpoint over by McCarran Park, like all the way.
Love that area.
I think it's Bayer Street and Graham, the corner there. Mm-hmm. So not too much to stumble on, but that one was an interesting one.
I love it. Sure. It's a great one. So my first hidden gem, you probably know. I bet you've had it on Secret NYC.
Let's hear it.
It's Greenacre Park.
Okay.
Do you know it?
I do know it. I personally haven't been.
It is so beautiful.
Jay, the one with the waterfall, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Have you been there, Jay?
Where is it?
It's on East 51st Street in between 2nd and 3rd Avenues.
I was going to say.
I was just down there on Wednesday, actually. And I saw it on the map and I was going to go by there, but I didn't. So
I love it, but I didn't. I was going to go down there, but I did.
That's me always. It's like, I walked past it. I wanted to, but kept walking.
Yep. It's really, really cool. And it has that, like you said, Bianca, that beautiful, beautiful waterfall. It's like a 25-foot waterfall. I think it's like 60 feet by like 200 feet. It's like a small.
Wow.
Don't
That's still kind of big, though.
Well, 60 feet by 120 feet.
I guess. You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I had a couch that was like 100. Oh, no. Feet. No.
Yeah.
I'm thinking inches. Wow.
Yeah.
Math.
No, that's okay. We have a lot in common. Trust me about that.
Really so, took leaps there.
But still 60 feet by 120 feet. To me, that seems small.
I guess. I mean, yeah, for a waterfall. I guess.
Yeah. What's for? No, that's the whole park.
Oh.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that's small for the whole park.
Yeah, I have to maybe double check my numbers.
No, I think you're right. It is pretty small.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And it has a cafe, too, in the park, that little park area. But it's like a full course salad, sandwiches, breakfast, everything. I think it has like 50 at least items on the menu. I was blown away how awesome that. So I'm going to go there this week and sit there and eat.
Wow. Yeah. I haven't been. I covered it early in one of my early days at Secret. And I know the team has been and has continued to cover it, but I still haven't made my way up there.
Well, the waterfall is just, it's very powerful, actually, and it's very, it's just calming, though, too. And they have a little brook that goes down the side and of a building, you know, down to the waterfall, and there's tons of people sitting in the, you know, the chairs and tables right there and talking or eating. It's just a really cool spot.
Yeah, that and the Ford Foundation are two places I want to check out that I haven't.
The forest.
The forest, yes. In the building, I guess. Yeah, that looks really cool.
That's at, it's on 42nd, right? Are you talking about 42nd Street?
I think so. I know it's also in Midtown somewhere, but don't quote me on it.
I actually was just there.
Really?
Yeah, they had the entrance in the front on 42nd, and they moved it to 41st. And I love that place. I actually did a live video on my Facebook talking about this. I'm like, look at everybody, let's walk in here, you know? And they have birds in there, and it's like a real forest in the middle of this huge building.
I love that. And in the middle of the city.
Yeah, it's on the far east side of 42nd Street, I think around 1st Avenue, because they have the Tudor City Bridge right there.
Got it.
Where everybody stands for Manhattan Henge,
right,
and all that.
Yeah.
It's literally, if you're walking towards the bridge, west to east, it's almost the last building to your left before that bridge.
Okay.
And it's really cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah. So what's your next one? What's your second one?
Second one, not hidden, but a gem to me, Joyce Theater.
Don't know it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been around for some time. It's in Chelsea area, and they highlight dance companies globally there. I used to go there when I first moved to New York and didn't have a job, and they would do these $10, $20 tickets on certain days of the week where you'd be front row, so you don't really see the feet and everything moving on the stage because you're so close. But it was so awesome, and I would go every week for a while. I think it's a gem, and I think it's not talked about as much as it should be compared to other theaters in New York and other galleries and other works of art. But I think that's a place that everyone should check out, especially if you're into dance.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything New York dance and arts and everything like that is so fascinating. I love that drive of New Yorkers who are in dance groups or dance theaters or actors and that passion everybody has.
I tried, failed miserably. I did Alvin Ailey for a couple of months, and then was not.
I'm impressed that you even did that. I mean,
I tried. I moved here. I was like, you know what? Let's like do something new, and that was short lived. But a lot of respect.
But you tried it. That's what's amazing. You won't see me trying it at all.
I don't blame you.
Jay, would you go do this? Would you go
at go dancing?
Yes.
Alvin Ailey? No.
Anywhere.
Well, we're very impressed, Bianca, with you. So my second one is going to be, that you probably know, is Freeman's Alley.
Yes.
I love it. Jay, do you know Freeman's Alley?
Yeah, we went there a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I was just testing you. it is amazing with all the graffiti. Well, not the graffiti, it's the artwork, the street artwork in this alley, which is, it's on Rivington between Bowery and Christie. Does that sound right? And it is, it's just this alley that looks intimidating if you're not from here. I send people there all the time, and they're like, are you sure I could go here? But it's just covered with, you know, local artist stickers and artwork. And they actually just kind of painted over it or something within the last year or two, which made me kind of sad. But now it's back.
I was there recently, but didn't even, I just like.
Well, were you going to the restaurant?
Yes.
They have Freeman's restaurant. Yeah. At the end of the alley, they have an amazing restaurant called Freeman's Restaurant, and it's so good.
I know
it's that in itself is always packed too.
Always,
it is such a, that in itself is a hidden gem.
Yeah.
So Freeman's
literally hidden behind this alley.
Yes, it is hidden at the end of the alley. That it looks intimidating, but it's not. Listeners, right now, Freeman's Alley is really cool, and at the end of the alley is this little entrance, like a little door to go into Freeman's Restaurant, which is very rustic inside. It reminds me of like Utah.
Okay.
You know, like has like wildernessy. I don't know. I don't know where Utah came from.
You kind of get that from the outside. Yeah. It has like a cabin vibe almost.
Yeah, cabin in Utah.
Yeah.
I just brought up Utah.
Let's take them to Utah.
That's a compliment if you're from Utah. You know, it's just cool. I can see like antlers on, you know, or something inside sure. and things like that.
So. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Yeah, I love it.
I haven't been to the restaurant in a little while.
Yeah, me neither.
But
it's just great. When I do videos in there on my social media, people are always really, they love it. They think it's really cool.
That's another one that I feel like probably 6-7 years ago was, I mean, it's still popular, but I guess more, I would see it a lot more on social media,
right?
That alley. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you don't really see it anymore.
You don't.
So taking it back to what I was saying earlier, rediscovering the city.
Exactly. That's a good point.
People kind of forget about these things until someone brings it back up and you're like, oh, wait, yeah.
Yep. It was when the first person who kind of discovered it, what, years ago on social media, we all saw it and flocked to it.
Totally.
You know, because we thought it was so, even before, I remember going there before it was reels, when it was just photography, and I would go down there and take photos and everything. What I love about it, too, is it's just a, you know, few blocks away from Little Italy. So if you're in Little Italy, you can just walk over to Rivington Street right there and in between Christie and Bowery. And check it out.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I think around the corner is like the Public Hotel with their bars
with the,
and restaurants.
With the rooftop,
they have the rooftop, beautiful
rooftop.
Views.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good area.
Yeah, I love it very much so. What's your next one, your third one? Are we on three? Are you your third?
I think we're on three. Yeah, we're on the third one. So third would be Syndicated, also in Brooklyn.
I've heard of it. I haven't been.
So it's a bar and theater, and you can order food in your seat, which is nice.
Oh, I love
so
that.
I've been there for like a late dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually play, I might be wrong, but indie films, although mm-hmm. they are playing now Challengers, that new movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a cool vibe. And you can also just go there and sit at the bar and hang out there. But if you wanted to see a movie, it's
wow.
Very small venue, but really cool. I love it.
I really want to check it out. Where did you say it was again?
It's in kind of Bushwick area. Oh, yeah. I think it's off Montrose over
I'm
there.
I'm not too familiar with that area yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the L goes over there. What's the ramen place near there? Ivan Ramen, is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, well, I guess you just said you're not super familiar. I moved out there for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So.
I've always wanted to check that area out. I just haven't. You know, I live way up in Washington
Heights.
It's
hard.
So it's a trek.
It's hard.
Yeah.
When every neighborhood I've lived in, it's like you just don't really, you leave it, but to an extent, you know, to a certain radius on your everyday.
Right, exactly.
And especially Brooklyn, L train's always doing something funky. Now the G train's not going to be running for a while. So. Not necessarily the easiest place to get to, depending where you are, especially from you and Washington.
Exactly.
Like, that's a commitment.
That is a commitment, especially on the weekends.
Yeah, exactly.
I do it on a
weekend. It's a few hours.
Yeah, I'll do it on a weekday.
Weekday is probably 40 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
But easily it can take like 2 hours plus on a weekend.
My last L train ride was just, you know, last week. And I was doing, actually, I think, who was I with? I was doing a tour, actually.
Okay.
I do tours, you know? And, the L train there was a police inspection or something, whatever it's called, when they stayed on the intercom on your train, you know, and so we waited half an hour there. And I told the people I was with, I'm like, listen, we're just going to go upstairs and we're going to take a cab. I got it. Where I, because,
oh my gosh, especially on a tour.
Yeah. What do they say? A police what? Investigation. Yeah. They say police investigation.
Oh, that's the worst. You could easily be there forever.
Investigation means, okay, you need to get off this train and go somewhere else right now.
Thankfully, you can actually get off of it. It's worse when you're stuck between point A and B and they're like, all right, well, there's an investigation at the stop in front of us. So we're just waiting.
Yeah, but I did tell them this is normal. You know, this is a normal thing, but we're getting off the train now.
Yeah. I would love to see their reactions. Kind of freaking out.
Yeah.
You don't know how normal it is. It kind of seems alarming maybe, but.
Well, side note real quick too. When one time I was doing a tour on the train and it stopped in mid-tunnel for like 20 minutes and this young lady on the tour was getting nervous. She's like, because she felt trapped and, you know, claustrophobic. I'm like, it's okay. It's totally normal. This is nothing crazy. And then, you know, but she was not.
You know, I'm claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. I have claustrophobia, getting very personal here.
Sometimes
but
I do too. Yeah.
Moving to New York force me to kind of stop, like compartmentalize when it comes to the subway, because mm-hmm. sometimes you are so packed in there. And when I first moved here, that gave me a lot of anxiety. But over the course of the years, I guess, have to take the subway. So mentally, I've like rewired my mind just for the subway. I'm like, all right, we'll figure it out.
You know, can I ask you a question real quick?
Go ahead.
About as a woman on the subway, how do you feel your safety and everything? I think the listeners need to hear this. I think it's a very important question.
So I think it really depends. Mm-hmm. I've, knock on wood, never felt unsafe on mm-hmm. it, but I do know that kind of depends. Like there's going to be someone with a story that hasn't felt. There have been times where I've maybe felt not super comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily for any specific reason, just a vibe, right?
Right.
Also, going back to the pandemic, after when people were starting to get back on the trains, mm-hmm. it wasn't really a lot of women using them. Every time I would go past like 8 p.m., because there just weren't a lot of people
right.
using uh-huh. the trains at the time, I would sometimes be the only woman for a few cars.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little odd, and I started to kind of take note of that. But otherwise, I've been fine, you know, mm-hmm. just being aware of your surroundings.
Right.
So if you see something sketchy or feel like maybe I should switch trains, I've done that a ton of times.
Yeah.
Where I just like on the next stop, go to the next train or a few trains down.
Right. Two cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I think if you're aware of your surroundings, it's fine. Of course, you know, anything can happen anywhere.
Right.
But, and I think we all also, as women in the city, have our own times, like our own code of when is too late to ride the subway. When I first
mm-hmm. Very good point.
Moved here too, mm-hmm. I would take the subway sometimes at like 3 a.m. and be waiting there for like 15 minutes. And it was a little uncomfortable, but I hadn't had any, I've known men who live in the city who have had horror stories.
Right.
So it's like, it could happen to anyone. Of course, you're probably more vulnerable as a woman as well.
Right.
But I would never do that now. I have like certain days I wouldn't take it after 8 or 9. Certain mm-hmm. days I might take it till 1, you know,
right.
a Friday or Saturday. Mm-hmm. I've taken it later on like New Year's where
oh,
I've been
yeah.
on the path and
yeah, but
and the subway, but you're with
people.
A ton of people.
You can't
at, like,
even, yeah, it's
yeah
so
at like 1:30 or 2 a.m. and it's packed.
Yeah.
So I think it's just being mindful of that.
Is it the only way you travel, but basically too?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's
just interesting. Yeah, I always like to hear a woman's perspective, you know, because there's a lot of stories out there, you know, that for people that don't live here, that hears horror stories. And I like to,
I mean, I
hear
have
a woman's perspective.
I have been, I was walking a friend's dog in Soho and had been hit by someone, like a homeless person, and mm-hmm. they were very apologetic. It seemed like they were just having a bit of an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that was like a lucky situation in the sense that nothing serious happened. The person was apologetic and I could tell that it wasn't
right.
intentional. It was kind of like they got nervous with the dog that I was with and everything. But to that same point, there are stories of people who don't have that luck, maybe.
Right.
And it does happen like so quickly that you don't notice. So just being aware of your surroundings, mm-hmm. I think, is the key.
Thanks for answering that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So for my third hidden gem, I don't know if it's really hidden. I'll just say gem on this one. It's the Apollo Theater.
Okay.
Have you been there?
I have not been there. I've walked past it, but I haven't.
Jay, have you been to the Apollo Theater?
I have been to the Apollo Theater, not in a long time, but...
But what were you there for?
I don't remember.
Just to check it out?
I think it was probably a Black History Month show a few years ago.
I love going there. First of all, here's a little plug. There's, I can't remember the name now. That restaurant, one of my favorite restaurants there in Sylvia's in Harlem. And you can just walk from Sylvia's to the Apollo Theater. And what I love about it, it has amateur night.
Okay.
You know, an amateur night, I think, you know, is, and it's, you need to go when it's like semifinals or finals, because that's when it, I mean, these are super talented people. It's like America's Got Talent. And it is so, some people, I mean, they give you these thumbs up or thumbs down signs, and you can boo I can't boo, you know, but I didn't read the audience.
I don't want to boo someone.
It's hard
someone.
To boo,
yeah,
but they, the audience boos and everybody. I have not laughed. When I go there, I laugh so hard. The audience is so fun booing and, you know, or clapping. And you just get so involved in the energy. And it's just really, really, really fun. I highly recommend at least one night of Showtime at the Apollo. It's famous for Showtime at the Apollo, but amateur night.
Amateur.
It's so cool.
Interesting.
You know, and it's really, really interesting. And what I thought was interesting too, you know who one of the winners was? Yeah, I know it's you guys don't know. It's just, but Ella Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Can you believe that?
That's been going for a bit.
Yeah. It opened in 1934.
Okay.
But that amateur night has been going on for quite some time.
Fun fact.
Because Ella Fitzgerald. Now I want to sing At Last and I can't sing. But anyway, I just love the Apollo Theater. I recommend anyone going there. It's on 125th Street on the main drag right there. You just take the A train to 125 and you walk right there, just a couple feet. Go to Sylvia's Zoe restaurant first, which I absolutely love. And there's also Melba's and Red Rooster.
Really, I was going to say, yeah, Red Rooster's around
right
there
too.
I've been there.
And it's super cool. And I highly recommend it. It's not a hidden gem, but it's truly a gem. And if you take some friends or a date there, it is so fun. And you get so inspired by the talent there, too. You know, they have singers, comedians, jugglers, you name it. You know, it's just really cool. So what's your number four?
So number four would be, I am hoping I'm pronouncing it right, but Svieka. It's a Ukrainian restaurant.
Oh, yes.
By Veselka. It actually just closed, but they're going to be reopening
it.
Or at least they're looking for a new location, mm-hmm. apparently. So fingers crossed that they find it. But that one's great. They also had volunteer hours on Saturdays where mm-hmm. people would come and help create these like potato dumplings, if mm-hmm. you will. I forget the name of it. It's not a pierogi. It's something else. But
right.
Anyway, people could come out. And I think that was just such a lovely thing for the community to have. And so many people went there on weekends. There were a couple times I wanted to. And their hours, I could never figure out like when they were doing it. So I always missed it. But I think that that's a hidden gem. Like everyone knows about Veselka and Veselka.
I love it.
Great,
I've been there. Mm-hmm.
But Svieka was just like a gem, like under a building. It was mm-hmm. just a banner outside with the name yep. of it. And
it's a great restaurant, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, this like our cafe, I was thinking. Our
yeah,
restaurant,
I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no, it's a restaurant.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've never known how to pronounce it. So thank you for pronouncing it.
I hope
it.
That was right.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
I think it sounds right, but
yeah.
What do I know?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. How about you, Jay? Have you been there?
No.
It's really good.
Well, when they reopen, hopefully, I have my eyes on it because that's.
I did just read it closed too.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no.
And they were going to close and then they were going to stay open, but something happened and I don't know, but they said that they are looking for a new location to open in.
Yep.
So
nice.
I'll be keeping my eye out on that.
Awesome. So here's a hidden gem. I think it's my number four, correct? I love the Conservatory Gardens in Central Park. Do you feel like that's hidden or just a gem?
I feel like it's hidden.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't know about it, in my
yeah.
opinion. You know,
Central Park's big.
Yeah, it's 843 acres, actually.
So yep. I think it's hidden.
Yeah, good.
Either way, it's a gem.
It is a gem. It's an amazing gem. It has three types of gardens. It has an Italian, English, and French gardens. Three gardens type style, I should say. And I love the entrance at 104th Street on 5th Avenue. They have the Vanderbilt Gate, which is the original entry to the Vanderbilt Mansion, which was at 58th Street and 5th Avenue from the Gilded Age back in the late 1800s, which I think is so cool. So that's the original gate, you know, from the Gilded Age. And speaking of the Gilded Age, do you watch the Gilded Age?
I did watch.
So good.
Yes, yes.
I'm in love with that show.
It's a good
one.
Yeah.
And Cornelius.
Like, this one I actually did watch.
Yes. Cornelius Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And that's who the gate is from. But I mean, the flowers there are just truly spectacular. And they have these beautiful fountains, this huge fountain in the center when you walk into 104th Street. And then they have this beautiful lily pond, kind of this little lily pond. But they have roses.
I was going to say, don't they have like a rose
yes,
garden area?
They do. chrysanthemums, lilacs, however you say it specifically. And it's just a truly beautiful group of three gardens. And they've done some construction over the last year or two, and they're beautifying it a little bit more. Not that they needs to be, but you know, they're just updating it.
Sure.
So
yeah, I found that during the pandemic, actually, because I was living on the Upper East Side and there wasn't much to do. So right. I would wander Central Park. I was close to the park and I came across that area. That's why I'm like, I think they had roses too around the fountain.
They used to have these. Well, they planted this whole section, new section of what are the springs, cherry blossoms.
Okay.
Well, I was heartbroken because they took down some of this whole two rows of cherry blossoms, like canopies you would walk through.
Oh, they took them down?
Yes. I think they were sick or something. So they had to replace them. So it's going to take a couple of years to get as big as they were, but it'll be beautiful, and it's still beautiful. But I mean, I in the springtime or anytime, summertime, you name it, it is truly just to walk through. It's so peaceful. People do picnics and stuff, and it's just a great spot, I feel.
I like that one.
So what's your last one, Bianca?
My last one hasn't opened yet, so it's hidden, but I don't know yet if it's a super gem. By Domino Park, they're opening an amphitheater. I like see it being built all the time
because
I live near the area.
I didn't even know that.
And in the winter, I think the plan is for them to have an ice rink and then concerts in the summer. So it's kind of a multi-purpose outdoor space. It was supposed to be ready now for the summer, but they're still doing construction on it. So we'll see when it opens. But I'm looking forward to that. Right on the waterfront, too, by Domino Park there.
Really? I'm surprised. I love Domino Park.
Yeah. It's great.
The views are spectacular. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, such a cool... It's been so beautifully restored.
Totally.
It's just incredible what they've done with the Domino Sugar Factory.
I was going to say, they're still building in there. I don't know, getting the... finalizing that construction on that one, but I now live in that area,
I
see it.
I love that area
often, which is how I found out about this amphitheater that I was walking past and was very confused by the construction. But it's not on their site or anything either.
Really,
it's coming, but we'll
I have
see.
To run over there because I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, again, they were supposed to be done now ish. So kind of now timeline. But we'll see.
You know.
hopefully soon, though. It'd be cool to have that space for the summer.
You know what else I'd love to do right there is I'd love to take the ferry there to the Williamsburg Pier.
Okay.
Right there.
I still haven't done the ferries throughout Brooklyn. But
that's amazing.
I know everyone always says, like, oh, have you taken the ferry yet? I'm like, not yet, but I should.
Oh, it's just and it parks. I don't know if that's the right word. Docks. And it docks right there at Williamsburg Pier, which is one of my favorite piers because it's a beautiful view of the Empire State Building right at this, you know, across the East River into Manhattan. But the, you know, it's like the pier leads into the Empire State Building. You can hop off the ferry from the pier right there and walk just a few blocks to Domino Park to see the amphitheater.
Yeah.
Great. It's really cool. That's a good one too. I love it. Okay. My last one, Bianca, is in the Bronx.
Okay.
And it is the I Love the Bronx mural and the murals in that area. It is at the corner of Garrison and Barrett Street in the Bronx. You can just hop on the subway and zip up there. But they also have like a 50th anniversary hip hop mural as well. And they have a whole street of murals in these. Have you been there, Jay, too? Did you know about this?
I've not been there.
Did you know about this?
I didn't.
Yeah.
No.
It's just beautiful street artwork. You know, New York City has kind of evolved from a lot of the graffiti to the street artwork over the last decade or so from what I read. And I just love those murals.
I wonder if it's near where they're building the hip hop museum now that you mentioned. Like,
maybe. I don't know.
I have to see. It's been a while since I've looked at where that's getting built. I don't know if it's in the Bronx or Queens
now
off the top of my head. But...
I love it. I think like the Bronx is such a underrated borough. I mean, it's known.
It's kind of hard to get to. I have a friend in the
that's
Bronx.
A good point. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'll come and meet you for dinner at 7. I'm like, actually, it's going to take me 2 hours to get to you. So maybe another time.
You're actually making me laugh because it's like when friends come from out of town and they call you and they're like, hey, I'm in Brooklyn. Come visit me. I'm like, have a good time.
Yeah. I'm like, if I had a car, it'd be different. I can probably get to you in 40, 50 minutes. Yeah. But if I have to take the L to the six and then take a bus. I'm like, you
people
know what?
Don't, that don't live here don't know it. You know, hey, I haven't seen you in 10 years. I'm in the Bronx. Okay, well, have fun.
I have friends who do that with Brooklyn, too, and they come and visit. They're like, oh, so like, I'm going to stay in Park Slope. Like, how far are you? How far is Williamsburg? It's all Brooklyn, right? I'm like,
that's where you live,
Jay. It takes like 40 minutes-ish, depending on like how the G train's running, if it's running, maybe longer. So
one of my friends called me at like 11:30 p.m. at night from Brooklyn, telling me to come meet him at a bar. And I'm like,
I'm in bed.
6 hours.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. No way. You know. But anyway, the Bronx mural. I mean, the Bronx is known for the Yankee, you know, Yankees Stadium and things like that. But it's, I love those murals. They're really pretty. So if anybody has the opportunity to run up there, and if you're into street art, it's really pretty. And there's a whole bunch of murals a couple blocks long. So really cool.
We'll have to get it on secret.
Yeah. It's really cool. The final question. What makes you a New Yorker?
Well, first, the nature of the job, I think, to a degree, makes me a New Yorker. I've been to Staten Island many times. And I feel like even people who are born and raised here maybe have never set foot on Staten Island.
That's such a good point.
So that's my marker. But also, to an extent, the amount of times I've moved in, I mean, I'm coming up to 9 years here in August, so close to 10. I know 10 is everyone's mile marker of you're a New Yorker after 10 years here.
Mm-hmm.
But in these last 9 years, I've moved probably about 7 times and between 7 or 8 neighborhoods, even.
That's
so,
actually awesome, though.
Yeah, so depending on how you're breaking down the neighborhood, some people say East Williamsburg is actually like Bushwick and not really Williamsburg. So depending on how you're looking at the neighborhoods, I've lived in quite a few. So I think I have a good grasp of the city.
Wow, I'm envious because I've just been in the same apartment since I moved here.
Don't be envious. It's such a pain. I just moved again a couple months ago.
It is a pain.
And I'm like, you know what? I signed like a 2-year lease. I'm not moving for a little while now.
You know what a lot of our listeners don't realize, too, is the way we move a lot is physically moving from apartment to apartment is using the subway, too. You know, a lot of us use the subway as a means to move a lot of stuff.
I've used
apartment.
Movers now the last few times. Yep. I'm like, you know what? I need help with this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would because when I...
Especially up walk-ups and everything. I'm like, I have no one to help me. So I'm just
I first moved here, I stayed with some friends. And then I found my apartment quickly. But I had to use the subway to move all my... And it was hard.
Oh, when I
I've seen people do
too.
It, yeah.
I was on 107th and Broadway there. And when I moved from there, it was like lugging from Home Depot boxes.
Yep.
You know, people say New Yorkers aren't nice, but I got so much help from people who just saw me struggling with these like extra, extra large boxes down the stairs. And they assisted me or like mirrors and different things that I had to buy over time, furniture. And yeah, it's a struggle.
You know, what's interesting about, you know, when I moved, you know, when I was talking about moving up on the subway, you know who helped me? Women. No men.
Men helped me.
Yeah.
Some women too, actually.
Yeah, but I was so happy. I couldn't believe like how many people, women were helping me and no men. Yeah.
They were probably
one.
Like, he's got this.
Yeah, not one man helped me. I was like, women are so awesome. Men are jerks.
That's true too.
No, I'm kidding. Men are great. Thank you, Bianca, for joining us today for this week's episode of the New Yorkers podcast. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
Thank you so much, Kelly, for having me. You can learn more about these hidden gems and plenty others by going to our site, secretnyc.co, following us on Instagram and TikTok, or by signing up for our quick weekly updates via newsletter.
Once again, I'm your host, Kelly Kopp, also known as New York City Kopp, all across my social media.
Please like and subscribe to the New Yorkers podcast, and you can follow the New Yorkers on social media at the New Yorkers podcast.
You can leave a rating or a comment to let us know how you are enjoying the show. We read through all your comments and DMs, so please, we would love to hear from you. Thank you to Pauletta, who I just did a tour with last week, and she told me she listens to the show all the time. So thank you, Pauletta. And thank you to my mom and dad, who are super awesome. They've been very supportive of me since I moved to New York, and they're great parents. Again, I just want to thank Bianca for stopping by from Secret NYC. It was a pleasure to talk with you. I had such a great time.
Likewise.
Everyone, have a lovely day, and we will see you next time.
Goodbye.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.